This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Ford.com hotline, Wade Ford, Atlanta. Say hello to Mike Griffith from Dog Nation. Mike joins us every week, and we get a chance to talk a little bit of Georgia football, go a little bit of around the SEC with him as well. Mike, I was just talking with John in the last segment about kind of this Alabama coaching staff and some changes that might be coming. Do you see new coordinators in Tuscaloosa next year?
Well, I think you'll see a change in defensive coordinator. I mean, it's been a tough year for Golding, and, you know, the last drives of games haven't always worked out. Certainly the LSU game, not good. Tennessee game, it went right down the field. It's hard to put it on one guy because, as Saban says, he oversees all this. He's in the same meetings. There's nothing happening that he's not aware of. But I just think after five seasons, it's probably time for a change anyway. That's kind of how Saban rolls. You really don't see a lot of guys stay there a long time unless they're having great success. I mean, Kirby won four national titles there. I mean, he wasn't going anywhere till he wanted to go, right? And, you know, Jeremy Pruitt had had some success, and I don't think he would have left if not for a head coaching job. And for whatever reason, it just hasn't worked out that way for Golding, and it's a tough spot. It's tough, you know, and it's not just a blame one guy kind of thing, but you know, that's the question is, do I think there'll be a change there? And the answer is, yeah, I think for sure on defense.
Mike, first off, love the Twitter avatar update. So thank you for your service. Very cool pick that you got there for Veterans Day. But the stat that jumped out to me about Tennessee and Georgia last week was Georgia held Tennessee to half of what their yards per completion number had been all season. I think that it was only 8.47 yards per completion, and those guys only averaged like 8.5 yards per reception in that game. The secondary that had so many questions going into it, it felt like Ringo and those guys, obviously Ringo had a monster game, but just that Georgia secondary, it felt like that they answered a lot of questions last week about matching up against teams that want to try to throw it at them.
Yeah, I mean, they made some good plays. Obviously, you know, Ringo's interception was big, and you saw Malachi come up and run support with 10 stops, and there was a lot of really good things. There was some good coverage. There was some pass breakups. I think there was only three pass interference penalties. You know, Tennessee didn't have a play longer than 17 yards until the final 4.5 minutes. Their biggest play of the game was 28 yards, but you know, as much as it was the secondary, it was Jalen Carter. I mean, he was a one-man wrecking crew. I think Georgia had over 20 quarterback pressures in that game. I mean, it's ridiculous. And they had six sacks. Tennessee wasn't able to protect as well as usual. The crowd noise, huge factor. Even when it didn't come down to a sack or a pressure, I mean, the defense was able to, you know, they had an equal advantage. The offense didn't have an advantage because they couldn't hear the cadence. Everybody had to go off the ball, and that's an equalizer. So, the secondary played well, but without Jalen Carter, I think it's a different picture. On a neutral field, I think it's a different picture. Not saying I don't think Georgia would have won, but I don't think it would have looked like that.
Mike Griffith from Dog Nation, dognation.com. Mike hanging with us here on College Football Game Time on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Can Georgia do the same thing today going up against Will Rogers in Mississippi State?
Well, they can keep them to the same offensive point total on the scoreboard, but they'll have to go about it in a really different way. This is a different offense. State gets rid of the ball 2.5 seconds. They're going to do what they can to disrupt. You wonder, first off, how much wind could affect this game. If it's over 10 or 11 miles per hour, that's going to factor into the game plan for both teams. You wonder if cold has an effect. I don't really think so. I mean, these guys are going to be pretty layered up, and it'll feel cold in the stands and the press box for the people that are there. I'm not going to be there today. I'm going to be watching all the other games and getting ready for the stretch run. But they're saying temperatures feel like 31. You wonder about the wind conditions. The stadium is mostly enclosed. The open end of it is the south end. The wind's going to be coming from the north. I don't know what the factor is going to be on the field. That's something to watch for. Mississippi State has not run the ball well, and they don't run it often. You know, Leach is not a patient guy. He's kind of his own worst enemy. When they run the ball, they're effective, but he kind of loses his patience and wants to throw it around a bit. I think a lot of this game is going to come down to field position and turnovers. And if Georgia takes care of the ball, this is a game they should win handily. But Mississippi State's 6-0 at home this year, and you can't discount the emotion that's going to be going through those players as they look to shock the world against the Bulldogs, the red and black Bulldogs, under the lights tonight.
Mike, how much does Georgia feature the running game today? How run heavy did they become in this game today?
It depends on Mississippi State. I mean, Georgia's offense is really such a pro style in the sense that they can change plays at the line of scrimmage more than probably 99% of the teams in the country. That's kind of the secret sauce is, you know, they'll go to the line with a pass play and a run play. The quarterback will make the read and he'll make, you know, the call, and then he'll make whatever adjustments he needs. I mean, they can adjust to five or six different runs or blocking schemes at the line of scrimmage. That's why they always seem to out-leverage the other team. Unless they lose the chess match, which is what happened at Missouri. Missouri's front was good enough to hold their own and you know, kind of played chess with Stetson and had them confused in that game. And you heard, you know, Kirby Smart after the game said, well, we asked Stetson to do too much. Well, that's a nice way of saying that he got outfoxed at the line. It happens to the best of them. Happened to Peyton Manning. Happened to Tom Brady. And when you play pro style, that is the downside. You're counting on your quarterback to make the right reads and out-adjust and out-think the defense. Now, you add to that with Mississippi State, they run a unique 3-3-5, and people have heard about that alignment before. It's there's nothing new or different about that. But they got about a 260-pound linebacker that they move around. He's a real weapon, and they're going to do some different things. And that scheme really gave Georgia trouble in 2020. I think Zamir White had 11 carries for 21 yards. Now, the difference is we're in year three of Todd Monken, and so the players understand the nuances better. They've prepared for this game. They've put extra time aside for this game, but they still got to go out there and play and execute. And it's a little bit different. The defense is just different enough to leave some question about how effective Georgia can be on the ground.
Mike Griffith from Dog Nation, he's with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mike, you mentioned earlier about the play of Jalen Carter last week. Guy played 48 snaps against Tennessee, and he's been kind of slowed a little bit with some injury issues. Surprise you with how much he played last week?
Well, yeah, but it was a byproduct of circumstance, right? I mean, Tennessee goes hurry up. They don't let you substitute. I guarantee if Kirby could have pulled him out, he would have. But when the other team is going no huddle and playing that tempo, he's kind of stuck on the field. Now, to Jalen's credit, you know, he played like a lion the whole game. I mean, just the heart of a lion of a guy that, you know, he's just a few months away from, you know, generational wealth, you know, tens of millions of dollars. And, you know, put team first and all in. You won't see 48 snaps from Jalen. You won't see 48 snaps from many defense. I mean, I don't know many defensive tackles that play 48 snaps. I mean, that was an epic Hall of Fame performance. And, you know, it's the kind of performance that needs to be recognized. And that's kind of my job as the sports writer. It's kind of the media's job to let you know who should be recognized. I don't think enough people are talking about Jalen Carter in that game. We all gravitate towards watching the ball, right? Well, who got the interception? Who scored the touchdown? But that guy in the trenches was a hero, and when he plays, he's dominant. I mean, he is. You know, I'm not ready to call him Aaron Donald or Ndamukong Suh, but you know, the players that were first round draft picks, Jordan Davis and Devontae White, said Jalen was better, and NFL people are saying Jalen's better. And could Georgia have two overall number ones back to back, Trayvon Walker and Jalen Carter? Possibly. You know, got to finish out the year. But to your point, you're going to see more rotation in there. Mississippi State doesn't go hurry up like Tennessee. They throw it a lot. Will Rogers is prolific, obviously. But they don't stretch the field as much vertically.
Mike, we saw the committee put Georgia back to number one. How much do you think they've separated themselves from the rest of the country as far as being the number one team in the nation? It feels like we're going to head back into Georgia being 12-0 in the SEC title game, and it's just going to be a matter of seeding that there'll be no chance that they're not in the playoff at 12-0 going into that game.
Yeah, I think if they win out, for sure. I mean, I don't think there's a question. You know, I don't put anything past the committee, right? I mean, let's just be honest about this. I mean, the committee is fickle. You know, changes, like Kirby said, that, you know, they move the goalposts. It changes from week to week. Said that in 2018. And it's true. It's not really, you know, the charge was for best. And I think in year one they did that. I don't think they did that in 2018. Georgia was better than Oklahoma. They had two losses. Oklahoma had one, but Georgia was a better team. But politics are what they are, and especially now. You know, we're on the verge of this 12-team playoff, and everybody holding hands and singing Kumbaya, and that means these championship games have to matter. So, you know, we don't want to get too deep in the weeds. What if a seven, you know, what if a two-loss LSU beats a undefeated Georgia? You know, what happens then? And it's a one-loss Georgia. Does the two-loss LSU? I don't even know if LSU is going to win at Arkansas today. I mean, that's going to be a tough game. You know, it's snow on the ground up there. And LSU, I watched LSU trailing Auburn 17-0 midway through the second quarter. I watched LSU get housed at home by Tennessee. I think Brian Kelly's done a whale of a job, but I think he's done it with mirrors. I think it's a house of cards. I don't, you know, and as far as other one-loss teams, Tennessee, does a one-loss Tennessee get in over a one-loss Clemson that wins the ACC championship game and starts to play dominant football? That'd be awful tough to keep a one-loss Clemson out that wins a championship game. I don't think you would keep a one-loss Pac-12 championship team out because I think they need these conference games to matter. Tennessee needs some help. They need Georgia to win, too. They need Georgia to win out, by the way. Worst thing that could happen to Tennessee is if LSU beats Georgia in the SEC championship game, because then Tennessee definitely wouldn't get in if it was a two-loss LSU. They would put a two-loss LSU in that had just beaten Georgia over a one-loss Tennessee, even though Tennessee won head-to-head, because you've got to respect the conference championship game. So, you know, we start throwing out scenarios, guys. Everybody starts getting a headache real fast and start turning off the radio. We better change subjects.
Finishing up here with Mike Griffith. Mike, I want to go kind of back around to the SEC here for a minute. How big was that win for Brian Kelly last week?
Well, it was huge. I mean, he beat Alabama, and the thing is that's probably as little talent as Brian Kelly's ever going to have on his football team. I mean, they're only going to get better. This guy's good. This guy is really good, and I know that we all got comfortable with the notion of, oh, well, he can't beat the SEC. No, no, Notre Dame can't beat the SEC. The standards are a little different there, and that's their own fault, by the way. You know, Notre Dame's the ones that, you know, have chosen to, you know, make it a little bit tougher to recruit. Notre Dame's the ones that hasn't invested in areas like SEC schools and some of the Big Ten power. Notre Dame is the program that put themselves behind with arrogance, okay, and that's a whole other show. But Brian Kelly's still the winningest coach ever there, and before he was there, he did a hell of a job at Cincinnati. And before he was there, he did a great job at Central Michigan. And before he was there, he did a great job at Grand Valley State. This guy's a great football coach. Now, does the cultural fit stuff matter? I don't know. I mean, some people say yes, some people say no. I mean, I can, you know, Moorhead at Mississippi State, was that a bad thing? I don't know. All I know is the guy's winning games in a season that a lot of people didn't expect him to. So what sort of momentum does he get? Big question. How much NIL money does he have? Let's just cut to the chase. What schools are going to spend the most to buy players? You want to know who's going to have the best chance? There's your answer. Now, if you're winning football games, you're going to build more confidence, and you're going to attract more corporate sponsors because everybody wants to be a part of a winner. So to answer your question, it was huge because it gets a lot more people on board because it builds momentum and it adds to the pot because this is all about free agency now. And you know, fans don't really want to hear that. And yeah, maybe when it comes down to two schools, they might pick one over the other because your alma mater, you know, has a higher academic ranking or a prettier campus. But 9 times out of 10, they're going to follow the money, provided they believe that they can get developed for NFL careers. And there's the best coaches in America in the SEC. So there's a lot of schools that can make that claim that they're going to do a great job developing talent. And the guys with the deepest and the best resumes, like Brian Kelly, have a huge advantage, I think, over a guy like Billy Napier. Although, yeah, look, Florida's making it work. There's a lot of Florida money, though. I think the Florida people finally figured out that you ain't going to do it with sunshine and good weather. You know, the days of Steve Spurrier working smarter, not harder, those days are over. And I don't know that this guy can coach like him anyway. Speaking of, you know, coaches from Louisiana, we'll wait and see on Florida. There's a lot of questions. Florida, South Carolina, it's another interesting game, right? Future of both those guys. A lot of interesting football on tap today, guys. I'm real excited for this Saturday.
Mike, we'll let you get to it. Appreciate the time, as always.
Thanks,
we'll
Mike.
We'll catch up again next week.
All right, have a good one, guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.